Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I want to talk to you today on the four biggest lies of the devil. The good news is I don't plan on getting through with all four of them. And so if I'm, 15 minutes into one, you say, oh man, we got three more, we're going to be here. I remember as a little kid in the churches, we always had church about 3 or 4 hours, and they'd start those sermons like 12 reasons why you ought to buy the pastor a new Cadillac or something like that. So they'd be on one, and you say, man, they got 11 more of these things. I'm going to be here forever. So it's four biggest lies of the devil, but I don't really intend to get to all of them today. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. This is Jesus talking about. Jesus never read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's a great book. I read it early in my life, but Jesus failed to read that because it would not have told you to start out your introduction this way. Ye are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You may be seated. Four biggest lies of the devil. The devil is a liar, and he lies all the time. And the lies that there's hundreds of lies, thousands of lies that he tells you in a lifetime. But the four lies that I've zeroed in on, if you succumb to these four lies, you simply won't be saved. It will destroy your relationship with God. He is not only a liar, he is probably the father of all liars. Now, the text doesn't say that. I've heard everybody say he's the father. The text says he is the father of it, not them. But he is the father of the lie. He is the father of all lies. Everything is not of truth flows from the devil. You can trace every problem of man and mankind back to a lie of the devil. From depression to suicide. I can tell you right now, if you're sitting in this building or you're watching online and you're depressed, it's because you have believed a lie from the devil. One of the lies that I'm going to talk about are others that fit particularly to your life. Jesus declared that he himself is the truth personified. There can be no ambiguity about Jesus. He either is or he ain't. Because if he's not what we claim he is a liar, because he made great claims about himself. Conversely, the devil is a lie. He is deception personified. Not only is the devil a liar, he's a good liar. Somebody asked Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was known for to never say anything bad about anything or anybody. Just everything he said was positive. Somebody said, what about the devil? He said, he's a good devil. Said the best devil he could. Said he is a perfect devil. And there's no question about it. He's not only a liar, he is good at it. And you're not too smart for the devil. You might have a high IQ, but you're not too smart for the devil. Unless you base your logic, your reckoning, your thought process in the Word of God, I can promise you the devil will outsmart you. It was not to the world that Paul wrote that we are not ignorant of his devices. It was to the church, people that are filled with God's Spirit. So you're not too smart for the devil. The devil is so good that he can disguise himself as an angel of light. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 13 through 14, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel that there are people that are tremendously successful at deceiving people. I said to Becky years ago about somebody, I said, I had no idea that you could get into religion and lie yourself into success, but apparently you can. So it's no marvel that people are successful at deceiving other people, for Satan himself is transformed, the Bible said, into an angel of light. Galatians 1:7, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know, people act like as long as you have a little bit of the Bible, part of the gospel, that's fine. No, that's a perversion. If it's not whole and complete, it is a perversion. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. The reason why the devil is such a good liar, he is so subtle. It's not blatant. The Bible said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Paul would write to the church of Corinth and say, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Talking to Eve. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The devil will lie to you, not always obviously, but he will lie to you, a beguiling lie. If you are not spirit-led and spirit-fed, you will not be able to discern the lie. It will be so close to the truth, you'll think it is the truth. You will eat the fatal and drink the poison. I've got a watch in my office I'd like to sell you. It is a perfect Rolex. I'll sell it to you for $150, and it is a $7,500 watch. I know Rolex watches. This was sent to me by a friend. It is so perfect, but I can't tell it. It's so perfect that I took it to a jeweler and said, is this genuine? He said, it is. It's absolutely not. But it is so perfect, you can't tell it. And the devil is just as subtle. He makes his lies so close to the truth that many people believe them. And if you're not fed with the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, you will not be able to discern that it's a lie. You'll eat the fatal, just like Eve, and drink the poison. What is the devil's strategy in his life? To make it believable. Don't change God's Word much. Just change it a little bit. Just a word or two, and then it's believable to the naive. Make the lie believable. I know a man that is, I guess, the biggest liar I've ever met. And unfortunately, he's a pastor. You just can't believe one word he says. But his lies are not harmful because they are so preposterous that nobody believes them. He's just a joke, but he's entertaining. But his lies are certainly not believable. Just crazy stuff. I was with him one time when George Bush got elected. And we were between the election and the inaugural, and he said, the inauguration, and he said to me in front of a bunch of preachers because he knew me and he won the, he said, you'll never guess who is calling my office all day today, or calling my room. We were staying in a hotel. He said, calling my room all day. I said, no idea. I knew it was coming. I know him like a book. I've known him all my life. He said, President Bush. So I said, what does he want? He said, I don't know. I haven't had time to call him back. Hey, no matter what I thought of Donald Trump, no matter what I think of George Biden, if Judy hands me a little piece of paper and says the president called, I think I'll call him back. Just my curiosity for no other reason. Why would he call me? But this guy said the president's been calling all day, and I haven't called him back. His lies are preposterous, so they're not believable. Nobody takes them to the bank. I know another man that called me 2 years ago, and he is so good. Oh, he's so good. He said, Steve, you're the last person I'm going to call. I'm only allowing 10 people into this. If you'll send me a check for $50,000 today, he said, I'm going to let you on something that is going to turn into probably hundreds of millions of dollars. I said, what is it, sir? He said, I and my friend have invented a generator that will run every light and all the power in San Antonio. And he said, the good news is the size of an ice chest. I didn't send him $50,000, but I have a number of friends that did. 2 years later, they're $50,000 poor, and they'll never see a dime of it. But he's so good that you believe his lies. The devil is a good liar. so that the father of lies tries to keep his lies close to the Word of God. If you can tell a lie about the Word of God, but you can couch it in the cloak of a facade of love, people will buy it hook, line, and sinker. The devil's tactic is to deceive. It's to misuse the Word of God. That's his tactic. The battle for your soul revolves around the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize how important it is to know the Word of God. Because if you know the Word of God, you will not be deceived. But if you don't, I can promise you that the devil can invent a lie that is so believable that you will succumb to it. The Bible said the sower soweth the word. And then the Bible said Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The word is sown. Satan takes the word and then he gives it back to you just a little adjusted. He puts his spin on it and now it's a different story altogether. Years ago there was a man here in San Antonio and I had bought a Rolex watch from him. I love Rolex watches and I've bought and sold a lot of them in my life. And so he had sold me a Rolex watch and it was worth about $50,000. And I gave him $10,000 for that $50,000 watch. And so this is several years later. And the reason why he had these watches, he had a friend that owned a jewelry store in Miami and he was just giving these watches. He had zero in them. And so he had a platinum watch. It was not worth $50,000, but it was worth about $25,000. And I said, hey, he would sell these watches so cheap because he got them for nothing. I said, I'll give you $1,000 for that platinum watch you've got on. He said, no, not today. Well, he went down to Brownsville and was down there several days. And he was with my friend Bill Moore, Pastor Bill Moore down there. And he came back and was spending a few more days with me. And he said, say, I decided I'll take that $1,000 for that watch. I had $1,000 cash in my pocket. I just pulled it out, and he pulled off that watch. And just as he did, my phone rang in the car. And Bill Moore said, Pastor, what are you doing? I said, I'm buying that platinum watch. He said, be careful, Pastor. That's all he said because he knew he was on. I put my money back in my pocket, and I said, we'll do this later. I called Bill when I got back to the office. He said, we spent 2 days going from place to place duplicating that platinum Rolex. That's a fake. I'd already looked at it one time, so I thought it was real. And I just about got cheated out of $1,000. The devil is very, very cunning. If you think that he's given up on you, you are wrong. There is a battle for your soul. And when the word of God comes, Satan comes in immediately. The serpent is more subtle than any of the beasts, Jesus said. The sower soweth that word, but the devil wants to distort. So you can sit here in the house of God and receive the word of God and say, I believe part of it. That's not it. You have to believe the entirety of the word of God. All of that to tell you this is the number one lie of the devil, and that is that Jesus is normal. There's nothing normal about Jesus. In chapter 8 of John, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father, that's Jesus speaking, and now the religious leaders that are opposing Christ for who he claims to be responds this way. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. That's the Jews talking, their father was Abraham. But here's the key. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. Fornication is not in the subject. It's not in the discussion. It's not in the dialogue. The reason why they brought up the word fornication, what they were saying subtly is, Jesus, you are not the Son of God. You are a bastard. You were born in fornication. That's what they're saying to him. And friend, the number one lie of the devil is to question the identity of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't know who Jesus is, you don't know the source of any help. And all of us are going to need help in our lifetime. You don't know who to go to in the hope in the time of need, when you need help in the time of need. You don't need to know who to go to in forgiveness. You don't know to who to go when you need healing. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, and so The real tactic, the devil, he cannot deny the existence of Christ. I've never heard anybody, agnostic, atheist, or believer, deny the existence of Christ. They just deny that he is who he claimed he was. And so the devil's number one lie is to dilute the authority of Christ. Because if he can make him normal, then, my friend, all hope is gone. But Jesus Christ, the Bible declares, is the Son of Man. The Bible declares he is the Son of God. And the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is God. I received a note about 3 or 4 months ago from somebody that comes to this church regularly, and I see him here all the time. He sort of wrote me a little note. He said, great message, Pastor, but one mistake. He said, Jesus is the Son of God, but he ain't God. You're in the wrong church, sir, because we believe unequivocally that not only is Jesus the Son of Man, the Son of God, he is God. In the Gospels, Jesus used the term Son of Man, referring to himself, and the Gospels used it 102 times, and the term Son of Man was used by Jesus 76 times, or 65 times by Jesus himself. I am the Son of Man. Why would he declare that he was the Son of Man when he was the Son of God? It was not just enough for him to be the Son of God. He had to become the Son of Man to redeem us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He is the Son of Man. What does that mean? That you cannot present Christ with a problem that he is not familiar with. You cannot introduce him to a temptation that is new and foreign to him. Tempted in all points, succumbed to none of them. He was the Son of Man. He's gone exactly through everything you have gone through. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be attacked. He knows what it is to be weary. He knows what it is to be tired. Jesus Christ was the Son of Man, and he declared it 65 times. But he was also the Son of God. The term Son of God is used 76 times in the Bible. And again, 65 times Jesus called himself the Son of God. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing you might have life through his name. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He is established throughout the Bible as the Son of Man. He's established as the Son of God. And thirdly, he is established as God. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. John 14:9, Jesus saying to them, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit and cannot be seen, but Christ is the embodiment of that spirit. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bad news for some of you that are looking for three gods in heaven. There's only one throne and one that sitteth on that throne. Jesus Christ is the expressed image of that invisible God. I asked one of the foremost renowned preachers in America how many thrones there were in heaven. He said, three. I said, give me a verse. He said, there's not one. I just know it. I said, who's sitting on the thrones? He said, the Father's on one, the Son's on one, and the Holy Spirit's on the other. I said, what do they look like? He said, the Father looks like an old man, the Son looks like a young man, and I don't know what the Holy Ghost looks like. That's weird theology right there, my friend, because there is so much God that you can't get all of God in one body. But yet the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ. But the Spirit of God was still in the universe, even though Christ was filled with the power of God. Oh, Jesus is the Son of Man. That means that he can empathize with everything I'm going through. No matter what my smallest sorrow or greatest pain, I can go to him, and he is the Son of Man that says, I know exactly what you're going through. We have a high priest which is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. But, oh, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he can go to the Father, and there he can intercede for me. And when the Father's righteousness would blight out my existence, the intercessor steps forth and said, I am the Son of God, and I've equipped him with salvation, painted him with my blood, blotted out his sins, and wrote his name down in the Lamb's book of life, and so he cannot be destroyed. What a Savior I have, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and God himself. He is so much man that he socialized at the wedding of Cana, but he was so much God that he could turn the water into wine. He was so much man that he hungered, but he was so much God that he multiplied the loaves and fishes into many. He was so much man that he tired and slept on the boat, but he was so much God that when he woke up, he spoke to the storm, peace be still, and the lightning and the wind stopped, and the waves laid down at his feet. He was so much man that he cried at Lazarus' death, but he was so much God that he cried, come forth, and Lazarus came out of that tomb. He was so much man that he died on that cross for your sins, but he was so much God that he came out of that grave. And ladies and gentlemen, when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you've called on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because the whole family in heaven and on earth is named of that name. And ladies and gentlemen, we have received a promise today that when 1, 2, 3 gather together in his name, the Son of Man is here. The Son of God is here. God himself is in this room. And you don't have a care that he can't take care of. And you don't have a pain that he cannot resolve. And you don't have a sickness that he can't heal. And you don't have a sin that he cannot cast as far from you as the east from the west. I tell you that Jesus is my God. And ladies and gentlemen, I am not confused or fearful by the turmoil of this world, because I have cast my lot with Christ, and he is all in all, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and God, and he is my God. And he is here to take care of me in the hollow of his hand. Nobody can pluck me out. He walks these aisles today, and the only reason you won't get an answer is you didn't ask the question. The only reason why you won't be forgiven is you didn't ask to be forgiven. The only reason why you won't receive is because you did not knock. Because Jesus is in this room right now. He has not been diminished by time. He has not been made smaller by events. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was, he is, and he will be, and he is my God. And he's in this house today, and he's saying, if you will worship me and believe on me, don't believe the devil that he was born to fornication. The Immaculate Conception is a truth. It astounds men. It causes my men to say, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Just believe God. He was born of a virgin, died on the cross, but praise God, he came out of that grave. He is a mighty God. No good thing will he withhold from you. He is able to perform perform that which he has promised. And his promises are exceeding and great. And he's here today to make good on those promises. He just needs you to stand and say, I believe. I reject the devil's lie. I believe that Jesus is not natural. He's supernatural. He's not normal. He's abnormal. He is my God, a supernatural God. Nothing is too hard for him. Cast all your cares on him. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that he's in this room today, and all I need to do is rally your faith. All I need to do is shake the very cockles of your heart and cause you to say, yes, Pastor, I believe that God is able. And the question that is before you will be answered, and the problem that you're wrestling with will be solved, and the dilemma that's threatening to take you out will go away as much as the storm did when Jesus stood on the back of that boat. He has not changed. He is not less. He is not smaller. Science does not limit him. Time does not erode him. He is a mighty God, and he's in this house. And I would to God that everybody in this building would stand on your feet and declare, I believe that Jesus is. I believe he is. What is Jesus? He is what you need him to be. He is what you need him to be. Whatever you need him to be. If you need him to be money, he's money. If you need him to be salvation, he's salvation. If you need him to be joy, he is joy. If you need him to be bread, he is bread. If you need him to be water, he is water. If you need him to be joy, he is joy. If you need him to be peace, he is peace. Throughout the Bible, he took upon himself many theophanies. That one God was a fire. That one God was a cloud. That one God was a man in the fiery furnace. He is what you need him to be. And ladies and gentlemen, I will not be ashamed of him wherever I am. I was in Walmart yesterday, and there's a little lady that doesn't come to church here. Little African-American lady, and she loves me because she used to work at Church's Chicken, and I got a $5 order of chicken one day and gave her a $100 tip. I'm her favorite preacher. But I saw her, and she saw me, and she started saying, Brother Steve. And so there we were in the middle, and she works now at Walmart, but there we were all hugged up in Walmart. She was hugging me and I was hugging her, and she was just praising Jesus. People looking at us like we're crazy. I don't care what they think. I have put everything I've got in the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so I have no fear of this world. Fear is a tangible thing in this country, but it does not affect me because I am safe and secure in whom I have believed. And I simply won't buy the devil's lie that Jesus Christ is normal. There's nothing normal about him. He can take me through the greatest storm. Take me through the greatest crisis. Provide for me when there is no provision. Make a way where there is no way. And he's in this room today. And I tell you that you're spending a lot of money on a lot of things to try to fix your ills. But if you could walk down this aisle and say, I am going to make Jesus Christ first and prominent in my life, your life would change.